Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of Bare Belief. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Gabriel.
Hello. It's nice to be back in the studio, in our wonderful little studio here in NDG in Montreal.
514.
It's the spring. It's nice. We are on the edge of May. By the time you hear this, we will be fully in May.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, we're gonna publish on Monday. It's going to be May. And it's so nice to be in this spring area. It's been a long winter, guys. It's nice to feel like things are moving along. So, Jessica, have you ever seen someone do something terrible and then absolutely nothing happens to them? Or, you know, then you'll hear someone say, "Don't worry, you know, karma." And you've heard that, you know, I've heard people say something like karma's a boomerang, you know, it comes back. So I thought today we could think about karma a little bit, like explore what it is, how it, because it's a thing, like I feel like in our everyday life, people talk about karma a lot. And I feel like people may have forgotten, like it's an actual religious thing, like spiritual thing. It comes from, I think Buddhists are having karma, Jainism, Hinduism is where karma comes from. And I think we have kind of a misconception of what karma is. And basically, it's just that every action creates karma, and that karma can be either good or bad, or it could be mixed. And the idea around karma is that it would influence your future lives. So what you do today will either come and get you in your next life, or you will have a better outcome in your next life. So your current life circumstances are partly shaped by your past karmas. And in Hinduism, the ultimate goal is something called moksha, which is the liberation from that cycle. So I don't know, maybe in some religions you would call it nirvana, you would call it transcendence, I think is the word.
Enlightenment. You get to that final stage.
Yeah. So they would have karma in Buddhism, karma in Jainism also. And so these are more like older religions. But everyday use now, like now we talk about karma, some talk about like good vibes, good outcomes. What goes around comes around. It's kind of in the vernacular. That's how we kind of see the karma in our everyday lives. And we'll see it a lot in pop culture, and it's very detached from its religious roots. So somebody cheats, bad's going to happen to them. And then we'll say like, ooh, karma got them, or, you know, they got what was coming to them. Today, one of the aspects that I find interesting is like cancel culture, and because you could tie cancel culture to karma in a certain way, where like cancel culture is kind of like a public shaming form of karma, so that we manufacture that karma as a group. And as a group, we're now being the whole judge, jury, and executioner kind of thing, where we're taking people and we're applying our morality or our judgment onto someone or a group of people.
Well, I think now it's about control, right? Where sort of the religious practice, the way you are sharing it, is about giving into an experience, right? Like, I have all this stuff around me that I do not have control over. So I am going to be sort of my best self. I am going to I don't want to say to improve myself, to be better. But again, like, what are those sort of life lessons where I want to get to that next stage or whatnot? I can't say I know how Hindus practice this, like how it fits within the spiritual context of it. You know, Christians, we tend to say, well, we'll get our pennies in heaven, right? It's for the, you know, when we die, and all this sort of injustices will reveal itself, because you will be in this place of glory and you'll have like the best part of heaven, I guess. And I don't think it's quite like that. You know, I think that ideas, sort of, you know, the question of like, why does bad things happen to good people? You know, if God is so great, then why does God let things happen to their followers or to those who really believe in them or and all this stuff? And, you know, I think we kind of platitude it out as in some ways. This isn't all.
Oh, I think we definitely platitude it.
Right. But yes, I believe in life gives us lessons to learn. Right. Like as we're children and going into our adulthood and sort of trying to figure out what the purpose of life is. I think that's sort of one of the questions this utters is like, what's the whole purpose of life? And then we kind of relinquish that control element to God. Right. And so then when we, again, don't feel that our rewards are warranted to the rules we are following, then it's easy to just transgress that responsibility. God, well, this is all your fault, my life. What I've come to kind of know is that life's teachings and the journey of life is separate from God. I get the, you know, the characteristic of omnipresent and can see and be all and this and that. I think in some ways, not that God doesn't love us or care for us, but I think it's really ego to just sort of think that it's, especially in the bad times, you know, like I'm sending all this bad stuff so that you'll learn something. I don't think God has the time for that. No, but like.
But I don't have the time for that. So let's see.
You know, and I think life is separate from God. I think God and faith are there as life takes us on these paths. So that, like we talked about last episode, if it's hurting, okay, where can I refocus? Where can I recenter? Where can I reevaluate? Where can I heal and be in that sort of connected space with God? And I don't really know racing, and I don't want to use God as that crutch, but it's almost sort of those pit stops. Like, that's why we go to church on Sunday. It's like, hey, whoa, life is nuts. Like, I'm going to take Sabbath. I'm going to take sacred space. Mm-hmm. And just refill, learn, or just spend time out of life's journey for a second so that I can get up and go again. So, yeah, I think sometimes it's a bit of an excuse, like, oh, but yeah. At the same time, I believe it too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that people do use these things as excuses. I think in a certain way, like when people look at karma and they'll say, well, that happened to him because, you know, it's karma. He's getting what he deserves or whatever. She is getting what she deserves. I think it's a way to feel not necessarily good, but to like justify it within yourself. Why? Not vindicated, but like if you think of it spiritually, that desire to have things explained. Like, see, so the atheist point of view here is that humans have created all these religions over thousands and thousands of years, and all these religions have evolved because there is a desire to explain the unexplained. You know, like there's a spiritual need or a spiritual emptiness, something that needs to be fulfilled. And I think karma helps explain some of the unfairness that you see, like when you see bad things happening or good things happening, it becomes kind of and actions and intentions and consequences over time that helps to alleviate those feelings that you might have inside of you that are hard to accept.
You're walking your path. I'm walking my path, and we might like collide in our learning, let's say. Sometimes people make decisions that it's really not about the other person.
No, of course.
Right? So
even though outwardly it may appear that way, or it may even be said.
It feels that way.
It's a lot of times, I think that humans are inherently selfish. I think if you look at how things are happening around the world, so we always, even when it's not about you and you're going through a breakup, you will internalize it and you make it about you, even though it's not.
You're hurting.
Of course.
Right? Like that hurts. But so then where is that role of forgiveness, right? So in that situation, there's closure. We can move on. Doesn't mean that's together, you know? So once somebody is ostracized for the horrible thing that they've done, can that person make amends?
Well, I mean, they can always try, right? But then so
when you make amends, then does that purify some of that karma?
But I think from a spiritual perspective, yes. But from a social perspective and from a human perspective, like, I don't think it does. Like, you see, like, there's all these people who keep getting canceled for all kinds of reasons. And people, like, tend to not forget. Like, if you look at, like, for example, like, Kevin Hart is a comedian, is a very popular comedian who's made homophobic jokes. And he's been canceled, in quotes, by LGBT community. And I get it, because his jokes aren't particularly good. And he's problematic in a lot of ways, but like I wrestle with that type of cancel culture a lot, because like, does it matter? I don't know. And that's where like the idea of karma is interesting, where like, if you believe in karma, then you'd be like, don't worry, he'll pay for it in his next life, or maybe his life is like this because of what he did in the previous life. But you have to believe in the concepts of multiple lives, and just between you and me and everybody listening, I don't. So, I don't know. I struggle a lot with the cancel culture, honestly. It was someone recently who they were being canceled for something, and I didn't care. I just didn't care. I was like, yeah, I it doesn't matter to me anymore. Like, I like their art. I like what they're doing. Like, it doesn't matter to me. And because obviously I don't think karma is a thing. Like, I don't think that like you do bad things and you get bad things back. If that was the truth, they wouldn't have missed Donald Trump during the correspondence dinner. Like in my opinion, he would have gotten what's coming to him. I don't think that man is ever going to get what's coming to him. I think he's going to die of natural causes way older than he deserves, in my opinion. And so I see proofs like that as like, to me, it's evidence. Like, it's not really a thing. And then it ties back into what you were saying earlier about like, if there is a God, like, why do these bad things happen to good people, and why do good people suffer, and why do, you know, I think it's all tied into that same kind of spiritual arena, where it's like, this is the same idea, good versus bad. It's always good versus bad. It feels like a lot of times, like, this spiritual stuff, it comes back down to good and evil, you know,
and the roles of that. So there was that movement in the millennial of the anti-hero, right? Like, there was a lot of these shows like Breaking Bad, where here Walter, I believe, was the character.
Yes, yeah, Walter White. Yeah.
Well, it was just trying to make ends meet. The teacher thing wasn't sort of making the means he needed, and he took his science ability and started dealing drugs. Well, that should be old, naughty, naughty, bad person, but we saw the humanity in this character. Yeah. And everybody saw, I think, related in some way.
Oh my! Like, well, not just related. Like, that's one of the reasons why that show was so popular, was because we liked this character. And even though he kept doing more and more despicable things, and like getting deeper and deeper into like this whole mess of organized crime and drugs and all of that, and it just kept getting worse and worse, we're still cheering for him the entire time. Like, what would I say, 7 seasons or 6 seasons or whatever.
Well,
it was
Shameless, right? Like, there's another one where it's a whole family of various ages, and you're like, you know, you get the shock factor, but at the same time, you're seeing the struggle. They're just trying to get out of whatever this cycle of poverty or whatever they're.
But that's an interesting point, because you see in these shows, and I think art is a reflection of humanity. Like, it's obviously, these are exaggerated themes and exaggerated situations in order to entertain. But at the core of it, like when you look at Shameless, for example, that is a family that is struggling, where the mom died, the dad's an alcoholic, there's like five or six kids that are left to fend for themselves. And they are, on any measure, like if you look at like what they do on a daily basis, like they're pretty despicable. But like, it's the stuff they do, and they do to each other and other people, like they lie, they cheat, they steal, they do drugs, they drink, like they to excess. But the reality is that like, these people were all We're not just those things. And that's how they get us to fall in love with them in a certain way. Like Shameless is an insane show. Like, it's so good. And I love those characters, even though I don't know if they were in front of me in my real life. I wouldn't want them as neighbors. Like, oh my God.
No, but there is a whole level, for lack of a better word, a whole demographic of society that this is their reality.
I think it's very close to some of them, yeah,
right?
For sure.
And
some it might even be worse. I'm sure some of them are worse.
And so, like, what do you do? So if I'm trying to survive, so that gets back into the karma, right? If I'm simply trying to survive, if I'm stealing to feed my kid, if I am hustling or whatnot to provide for my family, like, is that selfish or is that self-interest, right? Like, it's that weird gray zone, because we've talked about how being selfish is hurting people and the self-interest is the boundary and the healthy living, I guess. And I think sometimes that Venn diagram overlaps a little bit more, you know, because in the end, you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where us onlookers then need to not judge.
Yeah.
Right? It's mm-hmm. more, and not, I don't want to say not rescue, because then that's very colonial. Like, hey, let me get you out of this situation.
I know what you mean. It's not that you want to be the rescuer or have some type of savior syndrome.
Exactly.
But I think you want to have the openness to be able to provide support. I think it's probably more to what you'd want.
Exactly. And that's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we can get back into it and say, well, you know what? God just doesn't see them. They did something bad in a past life, and this is why they're in that situation. And I don't think God's like that. You know, I think that's where life is sometimes.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that life is unfair for the most part. I think unless you are put in an insane position of privilege, which very few of us are, the world is built against us. And I think the Shameless example is interesting, because I think one of the appeals with one of these shows is that as the like in North American culture, like, the majority of us are middle class. This is why this capitalism system works, is because it needs that mass of people at that level to funnel the money upwards to the 1% and get that whole thing going. But the thing, I think one of the appeals with that show is, to a certain extent, we can look at it with an arm's length and feel good about ourselves, because, oh my God, like, look at these people. You know, it's a bit like looking at a car crash. Like, you can't look away. And at the same time, we're provided with a certain level of comfort to, whether we want to admit to it or not, is to make ourselves feel good about who we are, and like, we're better people in a certain way. Like, not that we actually believe that we're better people or that we're worth more, but it's not as bad. Exactly. And I think that's part of the appeal. So, and that's, you know, part of that whole system. Again, like, I think it's weird how sometimes it feels like it's designed to keep us in that mentality and in that frame, so exactly. that we're kept in line to a certain degree.
Yeah, like a social construct. So, but even after I say all of that, like, I still do feel vindicated. So the universe or God has given me two blessings. Like, in the end, I will always find out when someone lies to me. It may not be right away. It may not be next month, but I will always find out.
I feel like you're looking at me very intently.
No, I'm not. I'm not. But it's true. Like, it's been so, you know, yeah, you know. You know when someone's lying to you, for the most part, right?
Like, you know, I am horrible. This is one of the things, like, I am so gullible. People tell me things and I never doubt it. And then I'll have conversations with, like, friends or whatever, and they'll be like, oh, I don't believe them. They're lying. And I was like, what? What do you mean?
Really? Yeah.
I think this has been a problem in my past relationships, is I just openly trust people. Like, if people tell me stuff and I just gobble it down. Like, oh, well, they told me it must be true. And I think that's why I have a really hard time when I find out that someone lied to me or broke that trust. I can't, it's almost impossible for me to go back. I can't look because
you're giving them that vulnerability, right?
It's such an integral part of my personality and who I am to just, I want to trust people. I want to and I will give that away freely, like immediately. So I had a roommate who dated this guy, who was a compulsive liar. He lied all the time about everything. Like if his lips were moving, like he was lying. It was insane. Like just, he'd lie about like the most mundane things. Like he'd lie about what he had for lunch. He'd lie about breakfast. He'd lie about what he was drinking in his cup. It was crazy. And she went out with him for, oh my God, like a good 3 or 4 years. And I was only roommates with her for like an 8 month period. I was kind of in between places and I broke my foot and it was this long thing. So anyway, so I was with her for a few months. And at one point I asked her, I was like, do you not hear him, like all these lies? And she was like, yeah, I do, yeah, I'm aware, it doesn't bother me. And I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't bother you? She's like, well, he doesn't lie to me about the good things and the important stuff. And I'm like, but how
do you differentiate?
I would have such a hard time, like sitting across the just having dinner with him was excruciating for me because I just wanted to shake him and it's like, stop lying to me.
Well, it's fake, right? And all that. So, and then the other thing that I think God has sort of given me and the family is that, like, I would retaliate as a young person. I did so many nasty things, don't get me wrong, out of anger. And I think that's where the wrath comes in. We stop losing our rationale and we just want that vengeance and we just want that satisfaction, right? But I said, you know what? I got to get over this and eventually I'm going to go to jail, you know, and that's not good. But what we found out is that the world kind of gets that for us.
Yeah.
Right. So my mom and I and my grandmother lived together. My grandmother had passed away very suddenly. And so we had to move. My mom couldn't afford the rent we were in. The landlord wouldn't let us out of the lease. So we
cough it.
We broke the lease, we jumped ship, moved in the middle of the night type thing. Mm. And there's sort of a statute of limitations that a landlord can
come back for you,
right? Anyways, my mom had been still working at the same employment place, gets a call, and anyways, it was sort of the landlord's lawyer and we were caught. So didn't have a lot of extra money. I think they came up with some 5-year terms of my mom paying like $50 a month because that's what she could afford. In the end, she didn't get through halfway through that. The corporation went bankrupt.
Oh, wow.
Right? So you're sort of like,
Justice is one of those things where you can think it's cut and dry, but it's really not. It's kind of relative. You know, what I consider justice might not be considered justice by other people. What is fair? What's unfair? You know, and again, like that even bringing that notion to karma, like, it's kind of the same in the sense that it's probably relative. Like all of these notions are, what's the word? Oh my God, my brain today. All of these notions are subjective. Mm. You know, it really depends either like from your perspective, your situation, like what, even like your morality, like. We talk about morality a lot, but morality is not the same for everybody. It's not even the same according to like what country you live in, or even like sometimes just, you know, you can switch villages and people would have a different idea of different things. So, and I think it's the same for morality, for karma, all of these things. It fluctuates. Not necessarily fluctuates, but it varies. From depending on who you are and where you're going and where you've been.
Well, right. And he used the example of the assassination attempt from this past week and where you're feeling like, yep, that's where we need to go, there'd be a whole group of people being, well, that's not fair. And now we've got to find some way to respond to this, right? So I think karma fills the gap of being reactive in some ways.
Yeah. And I think it's, yeah, I think you're right. And I think it, again, like it helps with that desire to explain things.
You know, and to have some sort of control in the uncontrollable.
Yeah. And I think like it's not necessarily, karma isn't like the universe trying to keep score. Like,
no.
It's more like, I think just generally, like your actions and the world, they shape us. Like as we grow and mature. And I think that's kind of how you could see karma in a way, as like a, as just how it helps shape things. So you, negative things happen to you. Well, maybe next time you'll do it differently, or maybe you'll think about things differently, or maybe positive things happen. Well, that affects you as well.
But I do want to offer this. There is a spiritual practice called lamentation. And I think it's really good to know. And it's in all the Psalms where good old David's just like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. And you put that out there, you know, and I, as I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, I love screaming at God because I think sometimes it's like, well, wait, okay. Yep. Let me go talk to life. Okay, it's getting a little dodgy here. Can we back up or whatnot? And for some reason, just even having released that emotion of it, it takes reactivity out of it, you know? And it's just like, okay, you know, like you even supported me last week on it. Like everything was going crazy. I sent Gabe, I want to say one or two texts because I think I like just text bombed the poor guy.
It was not bad.
But
there was a few texts. They were intense, but
you know, but it was just this like, you know, and he said the same thing. What are your control? Again, that redirection, you know, like, okay, where are you at?
And it's okay. I think it's okay to externalize that stuff.
Exactly.
Like, I think I actually believe it's bad to keep it inside. Like it needs to go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I was happy to absorb your spiritual garbage.
Well, you got my spiritual garbage. But like, yeah, I totally agree. You have to put it out there. And I think I want this. I don't want that. It helps put those sort of manifestations, those affirmations out into that energy. And I think that's where sort of the karma takes a bit of a different trajectory.
I think so. All right, so we've done it. Thank you once again, Jessica. It's always a pleasure to have these little chats. And for all of you out there listening, if you enjoy this, remember, you can support us. The number one way you can do it is by liking, subscribing, leaving comments, and sharing with your friends. And you can do that at youtube.com. Bear Belief, just search for Bear Belief, we'll come right up. We have a website, bearbelief.ca. You can find us on Apple and Spotify, the best podcatchers out there. So just look for Bear Belief, we will be there. And also, you can write us, bearbeliefpodcast@gmail.com. So spread some karma around, say some nice comments. We know you are listening, and we're happy to have you. So we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Have a good one, Jessica.
You too, Gabriel.